But I want our guys to connect the right way and truly understand that there was a lot of men before them who've played the game here, who love playing the game here, who won here. And so it's not a question if it can be done. It's just that we have to do the hard work in order to have it be done.
Oh, training camp is almost here. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Dog Pound Report alongside Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm. I'm Andy Baskin. The boys are back. We are the boys, at least, after summer break. Training camp starts in less than 2 weeks. You boys ready?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
It's football time.
Let's go.
I want to hit that fast forward button right now because of everything that we saw out of Hugh Jackson, what we expect out of these players.
All right, I got a couple questions about this period right before training camp. We'll get to that in a second. We'll start things off, though, with a bit of bad news this week. Defensive lineman Desmond Bryant undergoing surgery to repair a torn pectoral muscle. He's expected to miss the entire season. Here's what Danny Shelton had to say about Bryant's impact in the locker room.
Des Bryant, he's really... The leader of our D line. He's a guy that we all look up to. He's the guy who has the most years. He's also the guy who's busting his butt the most. Just as far as being in the weight room, as far as getting the plays down, he's been a great leader for us.
I want to start with this, guys. It's a lot. I mean, it's a workout injury. And you say championships are built in the offseason. He was trying to build a championship when this injury happened.
No question. This is a guy putting in work in the offseason, a veteran who had come back, reunited with Hugh Jackson, reunited with Ray Horton, who brought him in. And I think this is a big loss for the Browns. Des Bryant last year led this team in sacks with 6. He was the second highest graded defensive player for the Browns from Pro Football Focus. And he was going to be counted on at that 5 technique to be a disruptive force. I think it's a big loss. A guy who was kind of motivated, rejuvenated with Hugh Jackson here, and was ready to have a big year. And I was very sad to see him go down this way.
I was too. And I think this is the one guy that I kind of took for granted, maybe beyond Joe Hayden, to be at their best in this defense. As a lot of people are learning new terminologies and learning this new scheme, Des Bryant was going to do his thing and be the disruptor. And what we're going to have to see is who's going to take his spot. And that's going to be an ongoing conversation between now and the start of training camp. And, of course, as training camp goes on.
Nassib Cooper, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure that. And it could be somebody, a free agent. They could find a veteran who gets cut later on in the year, because Carl Nassib's a guy that originally kind of looked more like a 4-3 DN and somebody they wanted to develop and kind of have that as a succession plan. It was Dez's last year on his contract with the Browns, so that Nassib could maybe get some work in sub packages, but then take over that 5 technique next year. Now that's been accelerated, or you have Xavier Cooper, who's more of a 3 technique, yep, but has that quick first step, and maybe you can try to get him to slim down and move over that 5 tech. That's going to be real interesting, because this was a guy, in talking about Des Bryant, that was supposed to be the man up front for this team.
Yeah, and not only will it impact the defensive line and their production, but having a guy like Des Bryant will impact that outside linebacker playing to his side, because Des was going to be the penetrator, the looper on a lot of the stunts that we would see in this Ray Horton defense.
All right, on the brighter side, again, we're now 2 weeks away from camp, and what are guys doing right now as they get ready for camp? And I know we have this conversation right when we went into the offseason. You know, maybe you take a break for 2 or 3 weeks when the season ends, and I asked you specifically, what happens to your body if you don't continue to work out? And we'll talk about that for a second. And also, you know, what are these guys doing to get ready?
Sure, there's nothing you can do to replicate playing the game. So guys are going to do as much as they can to get themselves in shape. They did probably, as the Browns ended a little bit early, they probably took their 2 weeks, went home to where they reside outside of the city of Cleveland, maybe took their vacation early. But at this point right now, I wouldn't be surprised over the next 5 to 7 days if guys aren't making their way back into town. And for those that aren't, they have their flights booked, but they're working with their trainer at a local high school, just working on their ball skills, working on their feet, working on their lungs, because that's the one thing that we see out of Ray Horton and Hugh Jackson. Is they are going to push these guys out on the practice field almost to exertion to get the most out of them so that they can actually make a determination of who deserves to be a Brown and who does not.
And I can say this, you know, having been in the building now for the last 4 seasons, there are more guys already back in the building working out than I've seen in years past. So clearly they're motivated. And you're seeing on Twitter a lot of guys be like, all right, it's time to ramp it up as they got these 2 weeks now to get ready when camp starts a week from Friday.
All right, we talk about trying to get an autograph at training camp. Well, one of the coaches who's going to be there might have as many people looking for an autograph as the players. Chad Johnson created a buzz on social media this week when he lobbied to visit the Browns training camp to give his past knowledge onto the young receiving corps. It actually worked. Here's what the longtime NFL receiver tweeted out. What a blessing Hugh Jackson is. See y'all in Cleveland on the 28th. No cleats, this time just knowledge. So here's the Browns statement on Johnson coming to camp before you think you might be seeing Johnson jerseys in the pro shop. Chad Johnson and Hugh Jackson have a solid relationship. When Hugh coached him in Cincinnati, Hugh invited him to training camp to spend some time with the receivers. What do you think this means?
This is great. First of all, he first lobbied, if you remember, to come be a coach of the Cleveland Browns on Cleveland Browns Daily when we had him. I worked with Ocho down at CBS. I texted him. He's fired up. He even tweeted out RG3, said, I can't wait to come up there and remind you I'm still open. But what he told me, he's going to come up there and work on the route running. He said, that was always my forte. We have all these young guys, and you have a great coach in Al Saunders who's got the knowledge and the energy. But to have Chad Johnson be able to go out there, demonstrate, and show them how to run the routes for these young guys, I think is going to be invaluable.
And what I love about it is We drafted four receivers, so we're going to have a bunch of young, hungry, wide-eyed rookies that have never stepped foot on an NFL field, at least from a competition standpoint, and you get a guy that has. So if a little bit of the route running and some of the swagger and confidence and maybe a little bit of the smack talk between the DBs and wide receivers, if he can create that buzz of competition as he did, you know, in actual game competition, I think it's only a great thing for these Browns receivers.
And let me say this. If I'm Terrell Pryor, I am just latching on to Chad Johnson because I've got all the physical tools, but I don't have the refinement. And Chad Johnson was talking about on Twitter, and he texted me. He's like, man, I got 100 releases against bump and run. He's like, I'll show them everything. So if I'm Terrell Pryor, this is a guy that I want to get with because he can take mold my clay and make me a big-time receiver in this league.
And if you want to be a coach, this is like an internship on trying to become a coach. Impress the rest of the staff. Next thing you know, you have a job. Is there anybody else you guys would like to see come into camp to kind of work with some guy?
Well, I think, you know, we've got Ernest Biner who spent a lot of the offseason here, and I think, you know, the one name as we talk about it, and it's simply because it's near and dear to our hearts for many Browns fans, is if Bernie were accepted with open arms into this building again to spend a little bit of time with these quarterbacks, I think it just give a sense of, like, togetherness between eras of Browns fans to what Hugh's doing right now and over the past 30 years because of the success that Bernie had here, especially at a position that has been, you know, such a bad light for us in Cleveland over the past 15 years.
There's another name I'd like to throw about. How about Eric Metcalf to sit there and work with Duke Johnson? Because Duke Johnson is kind of a modern day, you'd hope, Eric Metcalf, and I think that would be a great guy to pass on some knowledge to Duke.
Just going back to the Bernie situation here, too. I mean, Bernie, when you watch him call a game or you listen to him talk about the game,
he knows the game.
He knows it when you break the huddle. That's the thing that always impressed me. If you sit there and watch a game with him, and he sits there, they break the huddle. He knows where they're going, where the ball's going, what the formation is, what the first read is, what the second read is. It's amazing. It really is. He's like Houdini out there, and you're like, I can't believe you figured that out. All right, one guy that isn't going to require a ton of coaching heading into camp would be Joe Thomas. Recently, the perennial Pro Bowler was named the 23rd best player in the NFL. Guys, how special is this, and which Brown will join Joe Thomas next on the list of 100?
That's a very good question, and I think it's a great thing and a sense of respect to Joe Thomas and what he's, you know, embodies as a Cleveland Brown and collectively as Joe Thomas himself, you know, 9-time Pro Bowler. And to say which guy might join him next, I'm going to say two very young players. I'm going to say Corey Coleman by next year could, with what the number of targets that he should get in this Hugh Jackson offense. And I think Duke Johnson is another player offensively that could essentially creep into this top 100 next year.
I'm excited about Duke. I'm going to go stay with somebody right next to Joe Thomas. I think Joel Bitonio, in this more of a power-oriented scheme, is going to have a big year for opening things up for the running backs of the Browns and obviously protecting the quarterback. But I think Joel Bitonio is a guy who's going to be on that list.
I would say healthy year, Joe Hayden gets his name back in there.
I love that.
With a healthy year.
We need it.
He's easy marketing-wise, too. Everybody already knows who he is.
We need it.
Still ahead on Dog Pound Report, we're going to take a look at one of the Browns' upcoming opponents this season. We'll hear from an insider about the Cowboys. Plus, we'll look ahead to the biggest position battles, I should say, heading into camp. So we'll be right back after this. Back here on Dog Pound Report, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, I'm Andy Baskin. Time now to learn more about one of the Browns' opponents this upcoming season, the Dallas Cowboys. We caught up with Cowboys insider David Hellman to get a sense of where Dallas is heading into training camp.
This team seems like it's rounding into good health, which is obviously a problem in 2015. Yes, you've got minor injuries to guys like Darren McFadden, but your Tony Romos, your Dez Bryants, the key cogs on this team, all guys who were out for at least parts, if not most, of 2015, rounding into good shape, bouncing back, and seem like they're going to be on pace for training camp here in 2016 and ready to practice all through the summer into the season.
Forbes magazine said earlier this week they're the most valuable franchise in the world. How do they get back into this thing?
They need to keep Tony Romo healthy. When Tony Romo's healthy, they win. when he's not healthy, they lose. It's almost that simple for that team. He might be the MVP of the NFL. I don't know. When you look at their team last year with him and without him, you could make that case. If they keep him healthy, I think, in my mind, they're the favorites to win the NFC East.
All right. Here's what David Hellman has to say about former Ohio State running back and Cowboys first-round pick Ezekiel Elliott.
It's been 12 practices for the Cowboys, none with pads. We haven't seen Elliott shoulder the true load of a running back just yet. He's worked with the first team from the very get-go. Certainly, he's not going to get every single carry. If you think back to 2014, DeMarco Murray got almost 400 touches in the regular season. I don't see that for a guy who's just about to turn 21, but I do think that this is going to be Elliott's offense from the very start. And he's looked impressive running and catching so far. So I think the sky's the limit for this guy, to be completely honest.
All right, here's the softball response of all time. Matt Wilhelm, how ready does Ohio State get you for the NFL?
If you are a Buckeye fan, we all know how ready Ezekiel Elliott is. He is a three-down back, and I think you don't take, at least not in the NFL, in this new age NFL, any running back inside the top 10 unless he is a sure thing. And for Jerry Jones to pull the trigger on a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, there's no reason for him not to take every single rep with the first group. He's going to be an integral part of this offense. And you said, as the Cowboys go, Tony Romo will take them. And I think Ezekiel Elliott and the load that they can put on him in his rookie season, along with a healthy Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, they're rounding themselves, at least offensively, to be the top of that division.
And let's not forget the offensive line he's running behind is one of the best in the NFL. They stole Lyle Collins after the draft when he went undrafted. That is a great line. Darren McFadden ran for 1,000 yards behind that line last year. So Zeke Elliott, I think, rookie of the year. Lock it up.
Still a lot of pressure, though.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a ton of pressure for a kid that's just walking in the NFL.
Yeah, but I mean, the same pressure that he had at Ohio State to deliver that second national championship is going to be similar to what they do in Dallas.
All right, so what are the expectations for the Cowboys heading into this season?
It's pretty fascinating when you think about it. This was a team that finished 4-12, dead last in the division, picked in the top five of the draft. But with Tony Romo healthy and coming back to the lineup and Dez Bryant rounding back from his broken foot, this is a team that expects to contend. Jerry and Stephen Jones said all during the draft process and in the offseason, they think this is a lot closer to the team that went 12-4 than the one that crashed out of the playoff picture last year when Romo was hurt.
It's amazing to talk about a team that had four wins last year and then kind of compare it to what's going on here and how they're on the verge of being there and we're on the verge of building.
Well, they were, I think, 4-1 with Romo. The only game they lost that he started was that Carolina game on Thanksgiving. So you get Tony Romo back, that changes everything for the Dallas Cowboys. They made some improvements to their defense. They got to withstand the early suspensions on the defensive side of the football. But if they can do that offensively, as you pointed out, this is a complete team. Terrence Williams, the number two receiver out of Baylor, a good player.
Yep.
You've got Jason Witten, who seems to get better with age. That line is dominant. They can control the line of scrimmage, and Romo and Dez Bryant can make big plays. And then you talked about Ezekiel Elliott. He's going to make big plays. So offensively, they're as good as anybody. It's just going to be a matter of what their defense can do and can Romo stay healthy. If he can, I think they go to the playoffs.
All right, we got to take a quick break here on Dog Pound Report. When we return, we'll break down the toughest training camp battles on defense. Stay tuned. More after this. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Let's dive into some of the training camp battles on defense, and we start off at linebacker, specifically outside linebacker. Nathan, what do you see from this group?
Well, I think Paul Kruger is going to be in a kind of defense where he can thrive. 2 years ago, double-digit sacks. He's going to be the main guy. So what are the battles going to be? Who's going to start opposite him? Is it Nate Orchard, 2 years ago, led the NCAA in sacks, came in as a rookie, started off slow, had three sacks down the way? Will it be Emmanuel Ogba, who seems more of a fit for Kruger's side? Where do they bring the pick number 32 overall in this year's draft along? So you have those guys. Where does Barkevius Mingo fit in? That's a real question mark, because is he a guy that's going to be in sub packages rushing? Is he going to be dropping like he was last year? Those four, though, seem to me to be the locks at that position. Then you've got a couple wild cards. Joe Schobert's kind of a tweener.
Yep.
I think maybe he'll count ultimately at inside, but a guy who had nine sacks a year ago at Wisconsin can get around the edge to the quarterback. And then there's Armani Bryant, who can play maybe, could be a guy that will replace Dez at the five technique in pass rushing situations, because that's what he was, a D end. But now he's an outside linebacker. He's suspended for the first four games. So he has a chance to make the team early. Then there's Jackson Jeffcoat, the son of Jim Jeffcoat. An interesting fact, the Browns now with Jeffcoat, Orchard, and Nassib have had the leading sack getter in the NCAA of each of the last three seasons. Jeffcoat 13, Orchard 14, and Nassib last year.
All right, take it to the inside now.
It's on linebacker. I think for me personally, just watching all offseason, I think the starters are kind of sewed up, and that's DeMario Davis and Christian Kirksey rising to that weak inside linebacker position. But the biggest battle here for us is going to be who's going to back those guys up. Nathan Mentor, Joe Schobert, fourth-round draft pick, a guy that can play inside, outside. Ray Horton likes that about Joe Schobert, and he's kind of shined all offseason. So then the battle really falls with Tank Carter, who's now, I think, in his fourth season with the Cleveland Browns. You get Scooby Wright, who you got as a bonus guy, who dropped all the way to the seventh. Sashi Brown took a shot on him. They like what he can do. And then undrafted free agent Dominique Alexander. He's been a guy that started, I think, 35 out of 38 games at Oklahoma. Very productive in a big-time school like that. They like him as well. So it's almost three, maybe four guys for two spots.
How does Schobert, because you guys are talking about that, and for you, a guy mentally prepare for either inside or outside? How does that work?
Well, you only give that to a guy if he can handle it.
Right.
You know, and that, so you give him a portion of the playbook or certain packages that he's going to be in, and that's really what he owns. He doesn't need to know it all. He just needs to know what he's going to do, especially as a rookie. And you want to put him in a position to succeed early so that he can buy in continually time and time again.
All right, let's move into the defensive backfield now. We'll take a look at the safeties. Matt, who do you see out of here? What are you thinking?
Well, I think, again, it's got three guys for two spots, and I don't necessarily know if the starters in this defense are sewed up. It's going to be Jordan Poyer, who we see a lot of last year in the Jim O'Neill scheme with, you know, all over coming in as, like, the third safety in a lot of packages. Started some games in the place of Tashawn Gibson, who missed some time as well. And then the other guy is drafted last year, Ibrahim Campbell, you know, fourth round out of Northwestern. He's been that thumper in the box type of player. And, of course, free agent Raheem Moore, a guy who's drafted in the second round, very productive as a collegiate player, drafted extremely high, but yet is yet kind of tumultuous kind of career in the NFL. I think those three guys are really vying for the two spots. Who it's going to be, I don't necessarily know, and you and I haven't really got a beat on that just simply being out of practice either.
Yeah. We talked about Joe Haden being healthy. Let's dip into the cornerback situation.
This is where I think some of the big, big battles are going to happen because, what do you say, at the end of the day, they're going to carry maybe six corners?
At most.
At most. There are eight guys that I think legitimately think they're going to make this team. You start with Joe Haden, and then you've got Tremont Williams. The old veteran last year was probably the best corner, most consistent corner on this football team. Now, Justin Gilbert's been running with the first team all offseason. He's looked good. You'd love to see him get the opportunity to be a starter. So given the philosophy, where does that leave Tremont? But I think those three guys are in. You've got Kaywon Williams, considered by many to be one of the best nickel corners in the NFL. That's four. Then you've got Pierre Desir, former fourth-round pick of this team, a guy who's playing some time at safety now as well this offseason. You've got Charles Gaines, who was the darling of last year's staff. You drafted Trey Caldwell. And then you brought in Jamar Taylor, who
yes,
I think is a real wild card. Former second-round pick out of Boise State, was with the Miami Dolphins. He's looked good to me. He's physical, and I'm excited to see him with the pads on. But there are eight guys who probably all think they were drafted last year or they're drafted this year or they're going to make this team, and two of them probably aren't. So that's going to be interesting. And we talked earlier about maybe adding somebody. Corner's a position where maybe we could make a trade from a position of strength to get a five technique to come in and play and help with the loss of Des Bryant.
All right, let's go up to the D-line, and talk, let's not only talk about this in terms of Danny Shelton becoming a year better and a year smarter, I guess, at football, but also talk about the depth.
I think the depth to me was a key, and then you lose Des Bryant, and that shakes up the whole room because as Nathan and I, you know, previewed this defense, D-line is where we had most confidence, and now it's got a big chink in its armor, losing Des Bryant, and now we're shuffling bodies around, maybe adding bodies. And I've kind of shifted my, you know, decision to who's going to be the best group is to the linebackers now. And so, but I think Danny Shelton's got to play his role in Ray Horton's defense. It's not, he doesn't revert back to old habits from Washington or his rookie season. He's got to take on new habits. He's got a new weight. And I think Xavier Cooper and John Hughes, you know, growing into their roles, John Hughes at the three technique and where Xavier Cooper's really going to get his reps, I don't necessarily know now with Des Bryant missing.
Hey, he's been a three technique. And so there's a big hole there. I think we used to think it was set. Five technique, you had Des and Nassib. Three technique, you had Hughes and Cooper. In the middle, you had Shelton. And I thought the battle was going to be between Jamie Meter and Niall Lawrence-Stample, the undrafted free agent out of Florida State. Now, there's a lot of moving parts. Maybe Armani Bryant slides back to defensive line and tries to fill that five technique and get to the quarterback. But can he hold up against the run?
Right.
There are a lot of questions now on a place where, as you said, it seemed like things were pretty set in stone.
All right. Well, we get to answer those questions in 2 weeks. Still plenty more to come on Dog Pound Report. We'll wrap up the show with your Twitter questions next. We get social here on Dog Pound Report. Time now for your Twitter questions. All you have to do is hit the hashtag AskDPR. First one comes to us from Gabe Michaels. It's short and sweet. How well is the O-line starting to gel together? Are they hanging out on a boat, or what are they doing? How are they getting this thing ready for the season? How do you answer that question today?
Well, we'll see when the pads come on, but I can tell you it does look like the starting line, at least four out of the five, are pretty much set in stone, which would be Thomas, Betonio, Cam Irving, Greco, right tackle Alvin Bailey's been working with the starters, but the coaches have told me they love what they've seen from Spencer Drango, and they can't wait to get Sean Coleman out there. They're saying he's nasty, plays with a mean streak, and we need that up
front. Just seeing Sean Coleman rock around the building, he walks mean. Around with an attitude. Like, yeah. The guy never smiles, and that's only a good thing for a right tackle in a Cleveland Browns uniform.
All right, next one. This one comes to us from Paul Myers. Coleman, and Corey is who he's got to be talking about, is a rookie, but Hugh is pushing him hard. What do you think the rookie receiver and touchdown total will be? His receiving and total touchdowns will be.
And based
Look
around
into
the,
your crystal ball.
Sure. Based around the number of targets that I think he's going to get in this offense, as the number one wide receiver, as we saw A.J. Green year after year in Hugh Jackson's system, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Corey Coleman eclipses 1,000 yards and has 6 touchdowns for the Cleveland Browns.
I was going to say 1,006. About 60 yards a game, I think he
we
can average
together,
that. We do
sometimes.
Work together.
Yeah, have you guys like had osmosis. This before?
No, but that's really what I was going to say. Now, if he did that, the 1,000 yards we've seen from Josh Gordon and the touchdowns we've seen, but nobody else has done that for Browns. Remember we did that on the show?
Yes.
I mean, you got to go back a long way to get 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns from a receiver on the Browns, but Coleman can do it.
Is it realistic, though, to start setting numbers for a rookie? I mean, I understand he's number one, but
1,000 yards really is.
I need you to have 12 sacks to start your first
but
season.
But that's different. 12 sacks is elite.
As we've seen wide receivers get drafted in the first round in 15 and especially the 14 draft and the production that they put up, we took Corey Coleman, and he's the guy that Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown wanted. He needs to produce in this system.
Yeah, Beckham, Robinson, Brandon Cooks,
Evans.
Mike Evans that year, Kelvin Benjamin, they all did it. Why not us?
Yeah, but when you come into the league, first of all, you're sitting there.
It's a passing league.
No, I get it. But I still think there's this mental aspect to the game where, okay, you play in front of 100,000 on Saturday, okay? All of a sudden, you're the top dog. You walk anywhere in Franklin County you want to, and everybody knows who you are. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to a city where maybe some people know who you are. If you're a top draft pick, everyone knows who you are. But quickly, I mean, the pressure there.
He can do it. He can do it. Right. Corey Coleman's done it at Baylor. He can do it here, too.
20 touchdowns in 8 games. He's not afraid.
All right, 25. Ask DPR. Next time, you can have a question that can get on the show. But how about Gribbs?
Gribble,
what a great new parent. Welcoming baby Mary Elizabeth Gribble to the world. Mom and baby are doing just fine. Gribbs, we can't wait to have you back on the show. Congratulations. Look at him sporting his championship Cavaliers t-shirt. Gentlemen, we'll see you next week. Thanks for watching.